It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel. We have lost our way today on a Thursday. Craig is not here with us. He is in Omaha. Had to leave with the team yesterday. Longhorns boarded the plane, made the trip to the baseball program's home away from home. 37th all-time trip to the College World Series. For the Longhorns, they will get started on Sunday. You can hear that game here on the Horn, Texas and Mississippi State, the final first round game in Omaha. 5:45 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. That'll be Craig and Roger Wallace. Roger will be in the house here where we are right now. We are down live on location at the Fairmont Hotel, downtown Austin, partnering with the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area for their 2021 Great Future Summer Lunch. And Roger will be the MC of today's event, where Steve Sarkisian, Texas head football coach, is the keynote speaker. Sark will be here momentarily. He is Sark is a busy, busy man right now. Right now, I haven't seen if he followed through, but on his schedule today, on his plate today, he was doing the Angelo Football Clinic. That is one event I love going to every year. They weren't able to have it last year because of COVID, but I mean, Nick Saban's done that clinic. Some big-time head coaches have done that clinic. Lincoln Riley did that clinic one year. I was down there two summers ago. Tom Herman did that clinic. I heard a Todd Orlando lecture down there in San Angelo. So it's a great football clinic. Wade Phillips and his family, really big part of that clinic. So love going to San Angelo, but business to tend to here on the home front down here at the Fairmont with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Austin for their annual summer luncheon. And, you know, the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area, outstanding organization. During the 2019-2020 school year, club members had a graduation rate of 96%, 97% of club teams expect to graduate high school, and 86% expect to complete post-secondary education. Club members who are in the 12th grade are 2.5 times more likely to abstain from alcohol than their peers nationally. The Boys and Girls Clubs have awarded over $7 million over the past 5 years to support club membership. Over 700,000 meals and snacks provided to members in 2020. A lot of people were struggling, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of Austin stepped up, and over 9,000 registered members. So this is an outstanding organization. On site with me, Trevor Hines. Trevor's running around here like a chicken with his head cut off on the tech side. Derek Cohen on the promotions front. Derek Cohen here helping me on the technical aspect. And Derek, we've been talking to people from the Boys and Girls Club. We've been talking to listeners. It's nice to be back out in front of people.
It is.
The remotes, I know, are a lot of work for you and Trevor because you guys have to get here early and set up and tear down.
It's
all I have to do. I just show up and talk and eat and I'm done.
It's just a
so
sign
I've
here.
Got the easy job. You guys have the hard gig.
Yeah, no, it's just a sign here, a sign there.
And now you guys have to get Twitch set up, which shout out to everybody viewing us on Twitch right now. So a lot of fun. It's real lively. Snoop back in the Snoop Daniel is back in the Horn Studio. Snoop, can you hear the sound around me?
The ambiance is lit.
Yeah.
It's like I'm at the mall or something. I don't know. Well, it's not a mall, it's a hotel.
I look forward to Snoop. I look forward to the day and time where we can get a remote and like all three of us can be on location, you, myself, and Craig. That day will come.
Can you see the bar from where you're at?
Behind you.
Yeah, Derek just pointed to it. It's funny. That's like I'm asking Derek and Trevor for something we'll see. And you ask where the bar is, and Derek's like, oh, yeah, it's right there. So he scouted that out pretty early.
Trevor brought his bathing suit, too. I think he's going to hop in the pool after this.
Yeah, I guess Trevor's going to get in the pool at some point. So
we got a Red Rock Express reference, too. So they got a pool out there as well.
It's good that, you know, it's great that at the Horn, our promotions folks are able to get out and do a lot of fun stuff, and we're able to get out. But let's talk some Texas football. We do have a Longhorn notebook coming up in the next segment. And I want to talk a little Longhorn baseball coming up once we get to that point in the show. Do want to re-rack our top news of the day. Reuben Owens in the class of 2023, the number two ranked running back prospect in the country, according to the 24/7 Sports Composite Rankings, decommitted from Texas this morning. His father did tell Steve Wiltfong of 24/7 Sports that Texas is still the leader moving forward. They decided to open it up, Reuben Owens did, to make sure he's making the right choice. He's got a visit coming up to USC. He's recently visited Alabama and LSU, Texas A&M, Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma also in the picture for Reuben Owens. So Texas still in the mix, but Steve Sarkisian, Stan Drayton, Brandon Harris, staff members have a little work to do to get him back in the fold for the class of 2023. And like we talked about in the first hour, it is a whole new world for these 2023 recruits that haven't been able to go anywhere yet, and then suddenly you open everything back up and they can go on the campus visits, they can go to camps and get the whole experience. They're going to have unofficials in the fall going to games. So a lot to see, a lot to take in, and Reuben Owens taking a step back, decommitting from Texas, but again, the Longhorns still the leader for his services. Specs text line is open, 337-3776. It's time for our fun fact of the day. We are 79 days away from kickoff with the Longhorns kicking off at DKR against Louisiana on September 4th. And when you look at the Longhorns that were 79, now we're getting into the offensive linemen. And I think about Ben Adams was a part of that offensive line, paved the way for Ricky Williams to win a Heisman Trophy. But while it's Terry Tausch was a great lineman during his time at Texas, but while it's good that the offensive linemen are getting some love, can't forget about Big Cat Alfio Randall also, worth 79. Thank you, CB, for reminding me of that. It's kind of sad to look at the offensive line because at 79 days, Tony Hill's worth 79. And Tony Hill's was kind of the line of demarcation for the last run of NFL offensive linemen that this program produced. He went in the fourth round of the 08 draft, and you've got to go a full decade later to Connor Williams getting picked in the second round of the draft by the Cowboys in 2018. That's how long the gap was, not just in top 100 picks or first-round picks. That's a 10-year gap in offensive linemen getting drafted. And you know, I picked up Derek, I was showing you this during the break. I picked up an Athlon Sports college football preview, which, man, if Athlon's going to keep hiking their prices, this might be the last time I purchase an Athlon Sports college football preview. I'll put it this way. It's not the $5.99 it used to be. I'll tell you that much.
COVID prices.
But I look at Athlon's unit rankings. And this is one of the things that I like what they do every year. They rank all the positional groups within the conference. They've got Texas with the third best offensive line in the Big 12 for 2021, trailing Oklahoma and Iowa State. So Texas, number three in terms of offensive lines in the Big 12. And when I think of Tony Hills and I think of that 10-year gap in between draft picks and I think about just where this program is, he had Connor Williams get drafted and he took a Sam Cosmi who was a three-star recruit and he turned him into a second-round pick, even though if Sam Cosmi had hit his ceiling as a player, he probably would have gone in the first round because a lot of the reports we heard about Sam Cosmi, you know, my colleagues at Horns 24/7 heard this. I heard it independently. We talked about it on the station. Rod had heard this. Rod Babers, part of the Longhorn Blitz podcast and part of that Triple Option Afternoon Show. Rod had heard this. He's got a lot of NFL context. Basically, whoever drafted Sam Cosmi is going to kind of have to reteach him how to play offensive tackle because the technique was just not there. So think about that. I think, again, about the 10-year gap. I think about Tony Hills being kind of the last in that last run of offensive linemen. Leonard Davis, Mike Williams, Justin Blaylock, Casey Stutter, Lyle Sinline. A lot of really good linemen were coming out of Texas at the time. And that, to me, is – we talked last hour about Sark's transition from Alabama to Texas and kind of how that needs to fit and – what he learned from Nick Saban and his offensive prowess, and that's a really big part of it. But to me, I think the ultimate determining factor for Steve Sarkisian, as it was the downfall of Mack Brown, as it was why things never clicked under Charlie Strong, and ultimately why it never hit the level that at one point in time we thought it would under Tom Herman, ultimate success or failure for Steve Sarkisian is going to come down to two position groups. What happens at the quarterback position and what happens on the offensive line. Now, with the quarterback position, you feel like they're in a good spot. They've got some good – there's some good bones to work with. If you're looking at this like building a house, there's some good bones to work with. Casey Thompson's a guy that's been in the program multiple years. You know, you've got Hudson Card, who, you know, just was able to sit and watch his first year on campus, and now he's in the thick of this quarterback battle. So you've got two guys that I think most Texas fans would feel comfortable with either one being the starting quarterback. And then you start looking down in terms of recruiting and what you've got coming in the pipeline. You've got Malik Murphy committed, and there is now that thought that if Arch Manning is a part of the future of this program, and we're, trust me, we're a long way away from thinking about that in terms of, yes, you can realistically think of him as a target, but in terms of this thing crossing the finish line, a long way to go in that Arch Manning recruitment.
Jeff, I got a question for you. Is Reuben Owens going to be attached to Arch Manning's hip?
They have developed a pretty good bond so far, but I do think, though, in other words, I don't think it's a package deal. You know, but there's two things I think to point out there. Number one, Reuben Owens, his family is still saying Texas is the leader, even though he decommitted. So I think that's important to file away. And the second important thing to take note of in this recruitment is Texas going into the visit, going into Arch Manning's unofficial visit last weekend, Steve Sarkisian, A.J. Milwee, this staff had done everything they could to put Texas in as good of a position as you can possibly be without having any face-to-face contact. And coming out of the visit, nothing but good things on both sides. That's all they're reporting at Horns 24/7 and within the 24/7 Sports Network. Nothing but good things to say. There's mutual adulation, Derek, I think is the proper term, coming out of the visit. So I don't think they're a package deal, but I don't think this decommitment from Reuben Owens hurts the Arch Manning outlook like you might think it would, given how close those two guys have gotten. So that's the quarterback aspect of it. And I think, given the way it's shaping up, I think everybody feels really good. But I still think that offensive line piece, and again, Athlon Sports, just looking at it, they've got Texas as the number three offensive line in the Big 12 going into 2021. That, to me, is the big unknown. Like, even as much as I, you know, bag on the wide receiver position, for lack of a better term, I'm just not leaving anything to chance in that position, but there's talent there. Jordan Whittington, Jake Smith, we've seen flashes from Marcus Johnson, from Marcus Washington. Joshua Moore was your leading receiver last year. Xavier Worthy coming in as a true freshman. Does Jatavion Sanders slide out and play some receiver instead of just being a tight end? There's plenty of talent at the receiver position. Now, you've got to develop that talent, put in the right position. But again, going back to the first hour, that's what we talked about. That's what Sark did so well at Alabama. And again, you can do the apples-to-apples comparison with the talent between Alabama and Texas. Whatever. I think those wide receivers, if they're able to stay healthy and if they're locked in, they're going to be in a much better position in this offense than they were in the previous offense. And we know about the talent at running back with Bijan Robinson and Roschon Johnson, and you bring Keelan Robinson into the mix. So there's a lot of weapons on this offense. And while tight end still remains a little bit of a mystery, I feel like if you watch this program, you know what you got with a guy like Cade Brewer. You like Jared Wiley's upside. We'll see how the rest of it fits in. But when we talk about the 2021 team or the future for Steve Sarkisian, that offensive line piece is the mystery to me. And I think this goes back to the transfer portal discussion. And when you look at what this staff targeted in the portal and what they got out of the portal, you know, they looked at the secondary. Inside linebacker was a place they looked. Trying to fill spots at the edge positions, the hybrid defensive end, outside linebackers. Obviously getting Keelan Robinson, and they were looking for offensive skill guys. But they didn't really attack the offensive line in the portal. And I think there's twofold. It wasn't a great year for offensive linemen in the portal, granted. But I really think if you sat down and asked Kyle Flood his honest opinion, I think he'll tell you that there are some really good pieces to work with on this offensive line. And this goes back into the NFL draft discussion. This goes back into the blue chip discussion we had, given Bud Elliott, my colleague at 24/7 Sports, just released his annual blue chip ratio update. 66% of this Texas roster, two-thirds of this Texas roster, is made up by guys who are 4- and 5-star recruits coming out of high school. 8 of those guys are offensive linemen in the program right now. Jake Majors, Tyler Johnson, Isaiah Hookfin. Even a guy like Denzel Okafor still counts towards your blue chip ratio. You've got some younger guys, Logan Parr, Jalen Garth. So you've got some good, young, talented pieces along the offensive line. And say what you want about Tom Herman and his tenure, and we certainly have our opinions about Tom Herman on this show and on this station, but they did a good job recruiting, and they did a good job bringing in talent on that offensive line. And, you know, guys that don't count towards your blue chip ratio, like Christian Jones doesn't count towards your blue chip ratio. He was a 3-star recruit, but that guy's probably going to start for Kyle Flood somewhere on that offensive line. Derek Kerstetter doesn't count towards your blue chip ratio. He might be your most valuable piece up front. And I think this goes back to the conversation Bucky Godbolt and I had a few years ago about Derek Kerstetter, which is crazy as this sounds. And Kyle Flood might be in that position this year. Is Derek Kerstetter too valuable to be a starter? In other words, should he just be your sixth man that if you have an injury somewhere or a performance issue, he is the one piece you've got that can legitimately, because he's done it at this level, can go in and play any position on that offensive line? Is he too valuable to start? Do you just need to have him kind of standing off to the side? And then, again, if there's an injury or somebody just flat not getting it done, you can go to Derek Kerstetter in one of those situations. So all that said, Junior Anguilau is a multiple-year starter. Now he falls into that blue-chip mix. So when you start looking at where Texas ranks, from a national standpoint, where folks are going to rank this Texas offensive line in the pecking order of the conference, having the number 3 offensive line in the Big 12 is nothing to sneeze at. If that's the national perspective, you're starting off at a pretty good place. But I say this every year about the offensive line, and one of these years, I hope I'm going to be right. That group has more upside from the time you leave spring football until the time of your season opener than any position group on the roster. And because for that group to come together and for things to gel the way they need to gel, that group has more upside from the season opener until whenever your season ends, a bowl game, college football playoff, whatever. Your offensive line has an extraordinary amount of upside. So I think when you start looking at the blue chip talent that's there, some of the experience pieces you've got, I've tried to temper my expectations in recent years about the offensive line because, again, this is one of those positions that kind of every 2 or 3 years I'm like, all right, this is the year. Texas is going to break through. They're going to be really good on the offensive line. I think they've got a chance to break through under Kyle Flood, and not just break through this year, but Kyle Flood can build an offensive line in 2021 that's got some staying power as they try to build this pipeline the right way through recruiting and get this group to a position where it should be. Because, again, I'll go back to it. Starting with the 2005 recruiting cycle, Texas has signed 41 blue-chip offensive linemen, guys that were 4- and 5-star recruits in the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. And of those 41, 0 NFL draft picks. Hopefully at some point my mind will no longer be blown about how difficult it's been for this program, regardless of the head coach, to develop talent on the offensive line and build one of the better offensive lines in this league. But if anybody's going to do it, I think Kyle Flood, given his track record, given how well he works with Sark, those guys being in lockstep with what each other's doing, and Kyle Flood's role as the offensive coordinator, don't sneeze at that and think, yes, Sark is the play caller, but Kyle Flood, in terms of an organizational standpoint, getting practice plans together, making sure things are getting implemented, his role as the offensive coordinator is massive in this thing. He, to me, is Kyle Flood and what he does with this offensive line to take a group, again, that Athlon Sports ranks as the 3rd best offensive line of the Big 12 going into the season, and by the end of the year, to get it to that point or better. If Kyle Flood can do that in year 1, now we're off and running, and I'm not sitting here during the summer anymore talking about the issues on the offensive line. It'll be a really good day when I can get to that point. It is a good day down here at the Fairmont Hotel. We are with the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area for the 2021 Great Futures Summer Luncheon. Steve Sarkisian is the keynote speaker. Roger Wallace, I saw Roger a minute ago here in the crowd. Roger's the MC for this event. It's starting to get lively here at the Fairmont. We're broadcasting live. A couple more segments to go. Take a break, come back with our second Longhorn Notebook of the day. We'll do that when we come back on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Rolling along, hour number two, Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniels. Snoop is back in the Horn Studios. I am down here at the Fairmont Hotel, where the Horn is partnering with the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area for the 2021 Great Future Summer Luncheon. Texas head football coach Steve Sarkisian is the keynote speaker. Well, you can hear the crowd. It's getting lively in here. A lot of people in here.
It's lit.
I keep saying this, Derek Cohn, our on-site producer. It's great to just be around people again. And not be just, I love being in the studio, don't get me wrong. I like seeing Snoop and Craig every day. It's just nice to see other faces.
I see everyone here is excited to be out and
I
getting,
think,
getting used to things again.
You know, I got to think, I wish the opener for the football program was not a 3 o'clock kick. I wish it was a night game, because I think this city, we saw it a little bit during the baseball regional and the super regional, like, sports fans in this town, specifically Longhorn fans, they're ready to explode. They need that release, that return to normalcy. And it was good being out at the dish for the regional and super regional. Just because of that, you felt like we're finally coming out of the everything with the pandemic and being at home and not being around people and social distancing and all that fun stuff. And it feels like we're getting back to normal.
That was the first time I've been to the dish since I was probably 4 years old.
Really?
And I have never seen a baseball game that electric before, and it was unbelievable. I was so surprised, and you're right, everybody's just itching to get out there. And
oh, it was awesome.
Team.
It was awesome. You know what else is awesome? Flex ATX is awesome. Snoop, you've got the Thursday Night Flex tonight.
I do.
What do you have coming up on the Flex?
Well, first off, I want to shout out to my co-host Zach Lucero and Nolan Hogan. Nolan is the son of B&E, of Aaron Hogan, and so he's starting his little radio
Bucky
career.
And Aaron had a kid. When did that happen?
Yeah. And his other kid had a birthday the other day, so birthday shout out to her. But we got a fun show tonight. We're wrapping up basically the baseball season, which just ended with one of our teams going to the state tournament. We're gonna have Bo Denscor from Georgetown, who was the 25-5A MVP, batted almost 400 this year. Great job for the Eagles. And Colin Correjo, which is the future of the Rouse Raiders. Remember, Rouse made the state tournament this year. This guy's just a sophomore infielder, first team all district. He batted over 400. So he went George Brett on him there, Jeff. Colin Correjo, he's going to be there at 725. We even, Jeff, big up people who are like journalists. It's this guy named Donald J. Boyles. And if you... If you watch high school baseball, Donald J. Boyles is like, he's on the Mount Rushmore of like Texas high school coverage. And he's so big, we're having him on the show at 7:30. His photos are epic. Everybody uses his videos on YouTube. Like, he majorly helps a lot of kids get offers on the next level just by shooting video and photos of them year round. So big shout out to Donald J. Boyles, 7:30 tonight. Then we're staying with Georgetown. We got Trent McConnell. He's come back class of 22. He's a DB. He just got his first offer from Bethel College. So not all the flex players we highlight are going to be going to UT, like Will Stone from Regents or like Pierce George from Lake Travis. You know, some of them go to smaller schools. And, hey, if you're going to get your school paid for, you deserve some shine. And Trent McConnell, his team is Jeff, they're going to the State Sevens tournament. They went down to Corpus, which is 3.5 hours from Austin, and it's really more like 4 hours drive from Georgetown. They went down there and qualified, so they'll be at the State Sevens tournament in College Station June 25th through the 26th. So we'll talk to Trent McConnell about that tonight. But our biggest guest, Jeff, has got to be Che Wabuku of the Manor Mustangs.
Ah, yes.
Class of 22, he has offers from all sorts of Division I schools. Great track runner. His dad, actually, I don't know the specifics of it, but I know his dad, Chooks, Wabuku Coach Chooks, always on UT campus training Texas Longhorn players, including, I really think, I don't know if anybody's ever said this, I think the emergence and breakout of Roshan Johnson last year for the Texas Longhorns playing running back, a key element played in a part of that was training under Coach Chooks. So, Seed of Chooks, Che Wabuku, he's going to be on the show tonight at 7:45. It's going to be a fun time tonight. And we'll talk Austin area recruiting about Will Stone and others who have gotten offers and or committed. We'll check in where some of our Austin players are visiting this week for camps. And we'll also talk about State Sevens, of course, June 25th through the 26th. We have 9 Austin area teams qualified, Jeff. And as always, they break down State Sevens into Division I and Division II, and the LBJ Jaguars and Wimberley Texans are representing Division II. So not only will we have our Lake Travises and West Lakes, but our smaller schools as well. So we'll recap that all tonight on Flex Live 7-9 on 104.9 and 101.9 and AM 1260 The Horn. Thank you, ARN family.
So a couple things there, Snoop. So So Don Boyles, I've known Don for a long time.
Oh.
Ever since I've been in the Texas market, he would keep me updated on baseball recruiting and baseball commits that were coming to Texas. So he was my contact on that. Great guy, does phenomenal work on the prep scene in Austin and really all around Central Texas. So glad you're getting him on the show. Chooks, actually, I know Malik Jefferson, and like you said, some other Longhorns have worked out with him over the years. So. Definitely right on that front. And then I've got a question for you. You and I have not talked about this. Are you going to the State 7-on-7 tournament?
I guess I better tell Chad so we can get a board op. Yeah, me and Derek and Trevor, all three of us, including Zach Lucero, Nolan Hogan's going. I think BK said he wanted to go. We're going to party in C-Stat. It's going to be a College Station takeover by Flex.
Do you and Trevor know what you're getting into by going to the State 7-on-7 tournament?
No, this will be my first one.
I'll say this. I think I've done, I don't know, Snoop, my first one was in 04, and I think I've done maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, something like that. The only place hotter than probably the seventh circle of hell is College Station, Texas in July. It is some kind of hot that you can just not fathom. And I'll say this, though, since they moved it to Veterans Memorial Park there in College Station, it's better than it when it used to be at the A&M intramural fields where there were no trees. There was no shade. So you had no choice but to just sit and bake all day. It's like you're walking under a heat lamp for 7 hours.
We're going to have our tent out there. We'll have our tent. We'll get some water.
Sunscreen.
You're going to see me on the ground at least. Dude, it is really hot.
I bypass the Gatorade and just go straight for the IV bags. That's just me talking.
One year, when Westlake won state, the year that they played Lake Travis in the Final Four, I think that was Sam's going into his junior year, I tapped out. And you know how rabid I am about covering it? It was so hot, like, I probably should have went to the hospital. Warning.
The last time, I'll tell you this, Luke, the last time I stayed at that thing for the championship game, it was, I don't remember which, all the teams that were in it, who was playing who, but I remember the quarterbacks in the finals. It was, if I remember right, it was Jevin Sneed, Christian Ponder from Colleyville Heritage, Taylor Potts at Abilene.
Wow.
And since I mentioned Taylor Potts, CB, I'm counting on you to send me a Sergio Kindle text in the next 5 seconds. But it was those guys, and the only reason I went to the finals that year was because it was at Kyle Field, and I could be in the press box where there were two things, shade and air conditioning.
Oh, wow. I would have loved to do that.
One day I'll tell you guys my story of how I got stuck on an elevator at Kyle Field. It's one of the worst, like, 30-minute periods of my life. Like, I thought – there's a moment there where I thought, like, this is how it's going to end for me. I'm going to – an elevator at Kyle Field, this is how I'm going to go. But thankfully I didn't, so – we'll get into that, I'm sure, at another time. Right now, Snoop, we need to get to the second notebook of the day.
We do. Here we go.
Longhorn Notebook, brought to you by Cedar Park Overhead Doors. Go to cpdoors.com.
I love how Snoop has to tell, like, the broadcast or the listening audience setting up the audio.
No, because you know how I like to hit it, like, real tight. And so when I don't hit it real tight, I need to – because I feel like I'm drowning every millisecond of dead air waiting for that. I know that's really weird. So anyway.
So we will finish out today's show. Again, we are down here at the Fairmont for the Boys and Girls Club of Austin. Their annual summer luncheon. Steve Sarkisian's the keynote speaker today. Everybody's starting to file into the dining area where the tables are set up. So it's a little less lively in the lobby, but still lively nonetheless. So we've talked plenty of Texas football on the show today. We covered the Reuben Owens news, the five-star running back from El Campo in the class of 2023 decommitting from Texas, but his dad told 24/7 Sports Texas is still the leader. We talked about the series Dennis Dodd is running at CBS Sports, including a lengthy conversation with Sark about his time at Alabama. And then one of my favorite topics, talking about the Texas offensive line. I can't talk about that position group enough. It always makes for good conversation, and how I think Kyle Flood has a real good chance to make that group what it probably should have been for the last 10 years. But, you know, they feel like they've got some good pieces on campus right now, and they feel like they can make it work. So I do want to finish the show today talking Longhorn baseball. That's why Craig Way is not with us. We have lost our way. You know, Derek, I think as we've been set up here, I think the most popular sentiment, we've had probably, what, a dozen or so folks come up and say hi and introduce themselves. And I think just about every conversation goes, hey, guys, great to see you. Wish Craig was here. So the voice of the Longhorns will be on with us remotely from Omaha tomorrow, but Craig is in Omaha right now getting ready to broadcast the College World Series. Game one, Texas and Mississippi State, Sunday night, 5:45 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch here on the Horn. David Pierce met with the media yesterday. He had a Zoom call with us. They were going to have a workout at the Dish, a hard workout, he said, but a quick workout. They were going to have the workout, and then they got on the plaid, the send-off rally, on the bus, on the plane to Omaha, and they are in Omaha right now. But I thought it was interesting that one of the things David Pierce talked about. So he talked about when – this is his sixth time in Omaha. He's been there twice as the head coach of Texas, and he was also there a few times during his time at Rice when he was an assistant coach with Wayne Graham, including when they won a national championship in 2003. And – I thought it was really interesting because a lot of coaches won't admit this ever. But David Pierce admitted that the trip to Omaha, it almost felt like a relief. Like Texas was just kind of happy to be there. He described the feeling as, now we're doing what Texas does, we're going to Omaha. And he said, and you can look back at that team, that 2018 Texas team, and he felt like that 18 team overachieved in a lot of ways. Like, they got a historic season out of Clemens that year. And what David Hamilton brought to that team from a defensive standpoint and as a leadoff man. And the pitching, everything just kind of fell together. But he said this, and I think this is really interesting. This is a direct quote from David Pierce yesterday. Said, quote, going in there this year, there's never been any thought of, hey, we made it to Omaha. The only thought we've had is, it's the next step. We're going to Omaha to win this thing. There is a difference, and he talked about it yesterday. He said it's hard to identify which teams, but of the eight teams that are in Omaha, there's going to be a couple of those teams that are just, hey, they're happy to be there. We talked about this last week, and I wish I could remember which of the ESPN analysts said it. I can't remember if it was Mike Rooney or Kyle Peterson. I think it was Mike Rooney, who said basically for a college baseball team, the worst loss you have all year, unless you get to the championship game, the worst loss you can have in a season is getting eliminated from a super regional. Because at least if you win the super regional, at least you can say, hey, at least our season ended in Omaha. At least we got there. And that's why, like, you go see any of the fan feedback, like, go visit an Arkansas message board right now and see how much fun Dave Van Horn's fan base is having right now. It is painful, and we talked about this, Craig and I talked about this on Monday. Like, if you ask Texas baseball fans, when you talk about painful losses throughout Augie Garrido's tenure, yes, there was the championship series loss to Fullerton in 2004, and there's been others along the way, but the one that just jumps out, that sticks out like a sore thumb of all the tough losses Augie Garrido had, It was losing the Super Regional to TCU in 10 with what some would say, Craig had this opinion, but you could say that was probably, and had a very strong consideration to say that was Augie's best team, was that 2010 team. So I say all that to repeat the fact that there are going to be a couple of teams in this deal that are just kind of happy to be there. Like, I'll give you a good example. Had Dallas Baptist won that awkward Columbia Super Regional where it was them in Virginia, but you got to play it in Columbia, I digress, COVID protocols and whatnot. I like protocols when they make sense. That one just didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. But Dallas Baptist, had Dan Heifner got his team there, had they gotten over that hump and gotten Omaha, that's the makeup of a team that would have just been, feel like they accomplished something. They got over the hump, they got to Omaha. And that's kind of where Texas was, as David Pierce said, in 18. And it's one thing to look back at that in hindsight as an outside observer, but for the head coach to admit that, I think that says a lot, number one, about how open David Pierce is with a lot of things, but two, it speaks to the mentality and the mindset of this team. There's two things about this Texas baseball team that have resonated with me throughout the entire season. One, we've talked a lot about it, man, their resiliency. Baseball's a game, and granted, there are other reporters in this market who were around Augie Garrido a lot longer than I was. But one of the things I really took to heart from Augie when he was talking about just how cruel this game can be. Baseball is one of those games where when you start to feel that strain and you start to put pressure on your stuff and you start to press in this game, you get yourself in a world of hurt real, real quick. And in situations where you're facing adversity, you can kind of feel that strain and that need to press. This team, even if they've felt that when they've had those moments of adversity, I've never seen a team that was so good, a Texas team that was as good at this team, at being able to come back when they get hit in the mouth and punch right back and get right back in the game. Think about it. In the NCAA tournament, they've trailed for all of one half of an inning. South Florida took that 2-0 lead at the Sunday night game of the Super Regional. Texas comes back, has a 4-run inning in the top of the second, and they were off and running and ended up blowing the barn doors off after that. So the resiliency of this team has really impressed me. The other thing about this team that's really impressed me, and we'll wrap up the Texas baseball conversation on the other side, but the other thing that's really impressed me has been their focus, other than I think that adjustment to understand, and again, a lot of the guys on this team, as talented as this team is, they've lacked postseason experience. I think they got a lot of that out of the way at the Big 12 tournament. And Mike Antico talked about it after that first loss to West Virginia. He said, look, there's a difference when you play postseason baseball, and guys need to figure that out. Be thankful they figured that out in Oklahoma City and didn't need to get into the loser's bracket of a regional or get into a winner-take-all in the Super to really figure that out. So the confidence that this team has now, they kind of – it almost feels like Oklahoma City might have been the best thing that happened to them. They got all those butterflies worked out, and they got back to being the confident team that hasn't gotten too high, hasn't gotten too low. They've just kind of stayed even keel the whole way through, and that speaks to great veteran leadership, and they do have veteran leadership. That speaks to having a core of young guys that are just gamers and really understand what it means to be in a place like this. You've got guys like Trey Faltini and Douglas Otto that have wanted to be at Texas for a really long time. But I think a lot of that goes back to David Pearson. And I agree with something Bucky Godbolt said earlier this week. We've credited a lot of different entities with this Texas team. I don't know that we've given David Pierce enough credit for what he did, especially after going 27-27 in 2019. You make the move on from Phil Hague. You change Sean Allen's role, make him the pitching coach. You bring in Troy Tulowitzki. You have a lot of roster turnover. Everything that went into turning this thing around, I don't think we give David Pierce enough credit for that. So that's where all that comes from. The resiliency, the confidence, all of it has made Texas a team that even the head coach has admitted in his second trip to Omaha with this program, it is a different vibe. They're not just happy to be there. They're going in with the attitude that they feel like they can go win the whole thing. And we'll see how that journey plays out once the rubber meets the road on Sunday, Texas and Mississippi State. 6 o'clock first pitch, pregame, 5:45 here on the Horn. We'll take a break, come back, wrap it up from the Fairmont, the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area. Their 2021 Great Future Summer Luncheon. Steve Sarkisian is the keynote speaker. That event is going to start here shortly, and we will be back to wrap up this edition of the program when we come back. On the Horn, live, local, and digital. On the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Bow and Snoop Daniel.
See, I'm riding high.
Couple more minutes here, live down from the Fairmont Hotel, downtown Austin. This is Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital. On the Horn app and at hornfm.com. We're at the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area, their 2021 Great Futures Summer Luncheon. Texas head football coach Steve Sarkisian is the keynote speaker, and Sark right down there looking very stylish. So the head coach is in the building, Roger Wallace, stepping in for Craig White. Craig was supposed to emcee this event. He really wanted to be here, but, you know, hey, when you got to leave with the team and the team tells you we're leaving on Wednesday, you're leaving on Wednesday to go to the College World Series. So Craig will be on with us remotely from Omaha tomorrow. So we'll be back to being one big happy family here on Light the Tower, but even though Craig is on location. So it is Friday tomorrow, so we've got our usual staples that we'd have in any show. A couple of Longhorn notebooks. It is Friday, so that means inconceivable. It'll be a Florida Friday. We save that low-hanging fruit for one day of the week, so we just don't bombard you with stories about it. Craig will be on from Omaha. Snoop and I will be in studio. Snoop, it's a trading card Friday tomorrow, so that we're going to actually wrap up that in terms of our partnership with Brown Eye Clothing, browneyeclothing.com, a great partner for us there. As we've had Trading Card Friday on the show. Really, when did we start that, Snoop? A couple of weeks ago, probably mid-May, I think is when we started that.
Like a month and a half ago. I've had some.
Yeah, it's probably about a six-week run.
Yes.
We've done with that.
Shout out to Brown Eye.
Snoop, I know you ran it down, but since this is your last opportunity to speak one more time, what do you have coming up tonight on the Flex?
Oh, yeah. Baseball with Bo Dinscore of Georgetown and Colin Correjo of Rouse. Then we'll be featuring Trent McConnell of Georgetown football, Che Wabuku of Manor. It's going to be a lit show. Shout out to Zach Lucero and Nolan Hogan, who co-hosts with me.
So, Derek, now I'm going to put you on the spot. What did you need to apologize to Coach Sark and his wife for?
Now that he's right in front of us.
Did you interrupt? You interrupted a dinner?
Yeah. About a month or two after he just got the job here, I recognized he was sitting at Clark's Oyster Bar. And so I got enough courage to go over there and introduce myself to him after he was done eating. I said hi. I said thank you for everything you've been doing for the team.
Well, at least you let him finish his meal first.
Yeah. And then I shook his hand, and then I walked away completely disregarded his wife. Did not say a single word to her, and for that, I apologize. I was very disrespectful, and if you can hear me, Coach, I'm sorry.
So, Sark, Derek apologizes. Yeah. He's sorry for doing his part to ruin your dinner. So, just don't make that mistake again, Derek.
I won't.
Okay. All right, so Snoop's got the Friday Night Flex set up. We are here down at the Fairmont. We are about to start the luncheon. Sark is here. Steve Sarkisian, the keynote speaker of the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Austin area, 2021 Great Futures Summer Luncheon. Roger Wallace is going to emcee this event. Again, we are about ready to get started, which means it is about time for us to close up shop today. Coming up next, stay tuned. It'll be shirts and skins. Well, at least the skins portion of that with Trey Elling, Chad Hastings still out on vacation. Triple option coming up this afternoon for Trevor Hines, Christina Killingsworth, Derek Cohen, myself here at the Fairmont Hotel, for Snoop Daniel back in the Horn Studios, and the absent Craig Way. I am Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of Light the Tower. We'll be back tomorrow on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.